You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
iCare Support Pathway 2 years on event is the launch of the Beyond the Eye CPD course with a focus on the mental health aspect of sight loss. I'm joined now by RNIB's Head of Mental Health and Counselling, Amanda Hawkins, Tariq Aslam Professor of Ophthalmology and Interface Technology at the University of Manchester, and Dr. Amari Thurston, Professor of Applied Counselling and a Psychotherapy Research in Sight Loss. All three of you, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Very nice to be here.
So first of all, Amanda, we'll come to you first. We spoke earlier on about the launch of the training. How are you feeling now that it's, what, minutes away?
Yeah, I want it over. I want to know what people think. It's been an idea in our brain for a very long time, and actually seeing it come to fruition now is just amazing. But it's like showing your baby off, isn't it? So you want people to love your baby. So yeah, a little bit of anxiety, but good.
Dr. Aslam, I'm coming to you. Your name came up when Amanda and I were talking earlier on. You mentioned people coming into your clinic really quite low following sight loss diagnosis. When did you start to notice that being not just a pattern, but the fact of, okay, something really needs to be done about this?
So that's a good question. I have to think back. You know, there was one turning point when I realized there was an issue. And that was when there was a particular patient who'd come in who had been seeing every month or two. And I felt I knew quite well. We'd have a joke. And she'd asked me how I was a lot of the time. And so it was that sort of relationship. And just inadvertently, because she'd been on one form of trial, we gave her a questionnaire. And it was a questionnaire about anxiety and depression. And it turned out from this that actually, rather than just being happy and enjoying the vision she had, she was going home every afternoon after clinic, drawing the curtains, and actually was in a state of quite severe depression. The vision that she had was great on the chart. So I was going home every evening and congratulating myself that we'd done a good job in great OCT scan appearance and great visual acuity, but in reality, we hadn't been serving her properly. And that was quite distressing because I knew her so well, and it made me start thinking, well, if this is what's happening with somebody who I know quite well, what's happening with all my other patients? And that led to actually a study. So the research study that we did over a year where we used questionnaires, we had a psychologist involved, and we actually directly asked patients about levels of anxiety and depression, what sorts of things are difficult for them, what sorts of things are challenging. And the results of that were quite stark, and what it seemed to show was that despite all of the modern treatments that we have now for wet macular degeneration, the levels of anxiety and depression in patients are still at the same level, roughly, that they were before we had all these treatments. So there we were as ophthalmologists congratulating ourselves on how great a job we're doing in correcting the OCT and correcting visual acuity, but it seemed like we'd missed this key part, which was the mental well-being of patients. People would joke at me and say, Tariq, it's maybe just your patients, or maybe it's just Manchester where it's very rainy. But actually, we then looked in a wider sense and contacted her on IB, and when I came across with Amanda, she reassured me that it wasn't just me or just Manchester, but this was actually a really big issue. We as ophthalmologists hadn't really appreciated it. And so that began my journey initially in trying to discuss and talk to colleagues and say, look, guys, this is something that we're missing. And actually, it was really difficult initially. We went for years. Amanda and I and Mary would all be on a podium talking about issues and trying to get home to doctors how important this was. But there was a lot of resistance. And initially, we were thinking, why are doctors so resistant? Surely they want to, this is part of what they want to do, improve the overall well-being of patients. And then it sort of became quite apparent after a few years that a lot of it was fear. And fear of the unknown, and fear that it would uncover something that they weren't able to cope with. So that's when Amanda started saying, well, actually, let's develop this teaching program. We've got all the right people. We've got a superstar, Mary, and let's build together a teaching package. And that's a really long answer. I'm sorry. But that was the whole story packed in one.
Dr. Thurston, coming to you next, you've got a foot kind of in both camps with this one. You're living with sight loss and also you're an academic in the field. Looking at it with both hats on simultaneously, if you can do, what are your thoughts on the beginnings of this course and the trainings and the materials that have been made to, as we want to do with so many things with the RNIB, make life easier for blind and partially sighted people?
Wow. Well, I really welcome this course. I think it's a beautiful thing. I think I've come to understand the mental health impacts of sight loss, not only through my own personal experience of sight loss, like being diagnosed with RP when I was in 40, but also through my academic research. And it was really wonderful to meet Amanda Hawkins way back in the day when we started our work together, in partnership in some ways, in kind of exploring the mental health impacts and trying to support people with sight loss. And then when we met up with Tariq, I was just overjoyed, because Tariq was one of the early recognizers of the mental health impact of sight loss and how important the understanding of this is for his profession. So I'm really excited about the course. I think there's a part of me hopes that it doesn't come across as kind of patronising to the ophthalmology profession, because they do an amazing job. But I think this would enhance their already good practice. I mean, I know good clinical skills are really important to patients, from my own experience of being a patient, but also from research we did recently, which said they were important. But what was equally as important was a holistic approach to patient care, which understood the mental health impacts and was warm and empathic and supportive. So yeah, I am just overjoyed that this course has come to fruition. Yeah.
Amanda, coming back to you, what are some of the things as part of the training that maybe lean more on those soft skills needed to understand the mental health implications of sight loss compared to what was happening before that was resulting in people being depressed?
I think there's two main things. I think the first thing is seeing the whole person. So a lot of patients that spoke to us at RNIB when they're in their mental health journey were saying, felt the ophthalmologist was talking to my eye but didn't recognise the person behind that. So I think it's that encouraging, doctors to see the whole person and think about what the impact is, not just for sight and eyes, but the impact on the whole life, because I think that's what the patient's sitting with at that moment. And I think the other thing is that normalization in that diagnosis, to say you will have a mental health impact or an emotional impact, and when that happens, that's really normal. Because what we were finding was clients or patients were coming out of their diagnosis, they may not necessarily be seen again in an eye clinic, however they thought they were the only ones going through that. So rather than them thinking, actually this is the doctor told me this is going to be very normal, what I'm feeling right now, which is, ophthalmologists and doctors have that kind of white coat kind of authority that patients and clients hear. So I think, being told by a doctor that this is very normal just takes that distress down a little bit. Yeah, and it's something that we can do. We don't have to retrain loads of people. We don't have to do things differently. It's actually, we're not asking people to do it in a very different way. We're just actually saying, just recognise this. It's a couple of minutes, just a change, a slight change in behaviour, but a massive difference in impact.
It's almost the physical embodiment of the whole see the person, not the sight loss.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Mary, you mentioned there about the talking to the eye rather than the whole person.
Yeah.
If I can draw on your personal experience just a little bit, is that something that chimes with you?
Yeah, I think, it does indeed. I mean, I was lucky at the time of my diagnosis. I had a really good ophthalmologist, but even although she was quite brilliant, there wasn't a kind of place for me to process what had just happened. There was no wet clothes in these days. And I went back to my teaching job after my appointment, where I was told I had RP, that, and I kind of realised that I was losing my sight and there was no cure. So I think diagnosis is really tough. And we know from the literature, like, that people tell us how difficult diagnosis is. So, I would say, particularly around diagnosis, the skill of the clinician in normalising it and signposting to support is really important.
And my final question, Tarek, coming back to you. With now the knowledge of this new training and all that can lead from that, is it just a case of now looking forward to how it's possible to help patients going forward, not just with the kind of hard and fast aspects of sight loss, but also those softer mental health implications of it, to make it a little bit easier?
Yeah. I think that one of the things that Amanda alluded to was how we really tried in this course to make it practical. So I've sat through talks on subject matters which aren't directly in ophthalmology. There'll be people from the legal profession coming and telling us about consent, and it would be like a 2 or 3 hour lecture, and I'd go away thinking, this is impossible. I don't have that time with a patient. And therefore, you don't take away anything you can learn. And what's great about this partnership is that the experts I'm with here today have combined with me, and together we've tried to produce something that clinicians can use. So it's not about doctors having to be completely retrained, but essentially by giving them very quick, simple, and easy tools that they can easily incorporate into their practice. And the gist of the teaching, I guess, is that just doing a few of these things, small things, can actually make a big difference. And that's one of the key things, I think, from patients, from RNIB, and from all of the educators on the course, that is a take-home message, I think, for the clinicians. So now it's a matter, I think, of trying to spread the word to ophthalmologists of the importance of this, of the ease with which they can do this, and the impact it can make for them, which in a practical way.
Brilliant stuff. Well, Dr. Tarek Aslam, Dr. Mary Thurston, and Amanda Hawkins from RNIB, thank you so much for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio, and all the best for the launch of the Beyond the Eye, a training course this evening.
Thank you
very much.
For more interviews, features, and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.